Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Your Money Radio. Danny Stewart, Don Vandenborg, and Mazingo, Alex Katutis with you. It's Thursday. So we're doing the show a day early. Normally we do it on a Friday. We're doing it on a Thursday. I'm going to tell you, and I'm actually glad we're doing it on a Thursday. We're doing it a little bit early for a very good reason, and I'll go into that. I'll do that right now. Danny, look at your screen.
Hi.
Yes, here we
go. Oh, there she is.
Yep. So doing the show on a Thursday, thought I'd start off with the good, you know, like get people warmed up. Dan, it's been a tough week in the market, so I want to show them a happy thing. And we're going to get Nora baptized up in Pennsylvania. So we're going to take the family truckster and we're going to drive because the flying, I don't think my parents were down with us flying there and bringing the corona with us. They think the planes are carrying the corona. So we just kind of went with the driving up there to go get Nora baptized. So I'm actually stoked because Remy is at a loves trucks, so that's my 3-year-old. So we're gonna see a bunch of trucks on the interstate. But Daniel, the markets, we gotta talk about the markets. So I want to help people give we're all going to give context here and talk about what we've been doing and what we've been seeing, how we've been handling things. And but I want to start with this. So I was early here. Is a gross stock nightmare setting up for Friday, and that was on Tuesday. So just a little early on that, and there's some things that have taken place here today where I thought we'd have a sharp rally that just haven't come to fruition, and you can kind of see it developing on this TNX chart. And I think this is really important to understand that this is a 5-minute chart of the 10-year treasury, and viewers of the podcast know what this represents. This means that the 10-year interest rate is now 1.53. And so you can see, and I'll show you this, I'll keep it on a 5-minute chart here, but what you can see is that around 11 o'clock here, Jerome Powell getting ready to speak on a Wall Street Journal interview. And you can see that interest rates just do this. And then if I take this and I say, just put it into the NQs, the NASDAQ here is 10:30, same time frame. And you can see the NASDAQ just kind of does this. And so Jay Powell hadn't even started to talk. And yet the 10-year treasury went up. And Jay Powell, it wasn't that he released written remarks because it was an interview. But he said something to the effect of, as I read my notes here, Powell says economic reopening could cause inflation. Okay, the sky is blue. Like, they're, you know, like no kidding is my point there. But what it appears to me to be is a couple things. Algorithmic. This started ramping up before Jay Powell uttered a word. It clears this little consolidation here. And now you can see that the TNX on a really small time frame chart is starting to come off. And so putting it back to the NQs, you can see that you're starting to, you can see that you're starting to maybe find a bottom. But there's some other clues that I want to show stock markets and market lovers as to how you can identify potentially when a bottom could be coming in. It doesn't mean it's the end all to be all, because this market's been really difficult. Normal clues that I look for, we talked about this last week, or I talked about it in a video. I can't remember if it was on the podcast or on Tuesday's video. There has been no VIX inversion. And so normally I look to the VIX to invert the futures to give me a heads up that the bottom is about to fall out of this market. You never got that. And what's interesting about this market is I'm going to change this now to what are the ticks? And these are the things I'm looking at during the day. I'm looking at the intercorrelated assets of the market. I'm going to, you know, let me put it back to a 5-minute chart. What you just had right before we were about to start the podcast are the lowest ticks of this week. And the ticks represent the actual buying or selling coming off the New York Stock Exchange. On Thinkorswim, this is an amalgamation of a couple of exchanges. If you got TradeStation, it's right off the New York Stock Exchange and it's one indice. But I want to show you something. Here is Monday. Monday was, we had a higher put call ratio on Friday, and you got the jumper trade and you got the bounce, and you had some really high ticks, like plus 1500 to the upside. And what was Monday? It was a really super bullish day. Tuesday, though, the selling pressure begins a little bit. And Wednesday, after an up open, the bottom falls out. But these were the lowest ticks, just a little bit below 1,000 to the downside. This is negative 1,500 here. So there's a little small part of me that thinks that maybe we stabilize from here. We don't have to. I mean, it's Thursday at 12:35 Central. So we could do a bunch of, it's a market, anything can happen. But this kind of capitulation tickage is really interesting to see. And if you look at so you take that, let's just leave it a tickage. So is that the lowest ticks we're going to see for the week? And if it is, I think the markets potentially could stabilize. So I'm going to watch the ticks, right? And these are things that if you're at home, you can absolutely watch. But if you're at work, you can program an app in your phone to do these things, and you can check in. And so now here is the 10-year treasury. Are we going to continue to break lower? Maybe, maybe not. But if you want to see real fear in the market, what's happening, and we're just starting to get some semblance of it now, it's the put call ratio, and it's finally starting to move. And you can see that on Friday, we got above that level of 0.65 down here. And we found a short-term bottom, very short term. And now we've eclipsed that low. So if we get, and it's just like the sides of a boat. So if everybody crams to one side of the boat, meaning the bearish side, like if I drew a boat on your screen, so we got a little dinghy, Danny, right? And if this is the put side and everybody crowds onto here, the boat's gonna capsize. And so you read the put call ratio as an inverse relationship to the markets. The more bearish the crowds get, and with the understanding that the crowds are typically always wrong, that you will actually see the inverse happen and the markets will actually start to transverse higher. None of that has to take shape. We might need to clear out everybody in the markets, like all the, Hunter will talk about this in a little bit, but all the names that have been speculative growth, like Fisker comes to mind, right? Like they haven't produced, I don't know if they produced a car yet. They're not even selling cars yet. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn there, but that would be speculative growth. And so do we need to come up to somewhere to this level? I don't know. But I can tell you that the signaling would suggest that the more people get bearish, the better chance there is for this market to start finding its footing. And then I'll do this with you here. I'll show you two more things. So I don't talk MACD very often. It's everything I'm talking about is just a preponderance of evidence. It's not one piece I'm using to determine direction or strategy. I always look for a preponderance of evidence. I just don't think there's one thing you could look at that tells you what to do. But here, other than price, I guess. But here, when the MACD gets to these extraordinarily low levels, and I'm drawing three areas on your screen, you can see where markets found their footing. Now you're going to say, Tim, we're not quite down there yet. And I'll say, yeah, we're not quite down there yet. But we took out I mean, we just took out a bunch of folks here. And so markets, I would be surprised if the markets didn't try to reverse back, at least revert to the trailing ATR stop. And granted, I'm on a 78-minute, just a little bit longer than an hour time frame here. And so be really interesting to see how the rest of this day develops. And if it closes ugly, I'll tell you that. If it closes ugly and Friday is a very ugly day, then margin call Monday is an absolute possibility. And so, but right now, I mean, bears just got a huge, huge bazooka. I mean, they just shot a giant gun. They're going to probably need a little time to reload, and reloading would have the markets kind of traverse. And then if you take how cruel the market can be, so let me put this on a daily chart. And so the reopening trade, you would think that the like Alta comes to mind. Alta was holding up beautifully, and now it's traded right back down to the mean. That's kind of a reopening trade. Is kind of a reopening trade down, kind of agriculture, so to speak. FCX was a reopening trade down over 7%. But when you look at Amazon, it's down 0.4%. And yeah, it was up at 30, what was it up today? 30.
It was up over around 1.5% before it started selling off.
Thank you, I appreciate that. And then if you look at the Qs, the Qs are down 1.76% as I type, but Apple is down 1.55, kind of matching the market. But look here at Google, still green. Amazon down about 0.5%, and Facebook green. Really interesting. And so, by no means am I saying they're about to rotate into those names. Well, it's not what I'm saying, but the names that just kind of held up and led that reopening trade, the market's a cruel beast. And so the market's a cruel, cruel beast. And so it wouldn't surprise me one bit if that we see some positive ticks potentially into the close, that markets try to find their footing, that the bond prices, these are 30-year treasuries here, try to do this, the VIX futures try to come off, and maybe the dollar, which has been a problem, starts to come off, and then you see some improvement in the breadth of the market, both on the NASDAQ and the S&Ps. Look, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask for if you're bullish in this market. And my heart goes out to so many folks with 401ks and IRAs that are just completely long only. And you've just taken a beating, or if you just got wise to some SPACs and you're like, this is where the money's being made, you've just taken an absolute shellacking. And so what do you do from here? We'll get into that, but it's very difficult. And the point of me telling you this, something that you're like, Tim, we already know the market suck. Thanks. So many people are going to get short at the bottom. And who knows if this is a bottom. But right now, like in the video, I was saying, maybe the time to stand clear is now, like just stand clear. But it's really hard to figure out the market's direction right now. And it could be paralyzing. But if you hit your pain points in certain things, you have to take action. You have to honor your trading plan. But if you're like sitting on the sidelines and you're thinking about what to do, I don't know if this is the rodeo to get involved with right now. And when would that change for me? Man, let's get a close on on one of these indices above the 21 daily. And if we do that, then you can start getting the shift in trend. But look, they're starting to sell oil off. If you look at oil down here at the bottom right hand side of my screen, they're selling oil off. That's going to affect small caps. This is not a healthy environment. And again, you know that. But so many people are going, I mean, they ripped the shorts this morning when the market started getting plus 1,000 ticks. Now they're ripping the longs to the downside. And who knows where this is going to end up. And Danny, can you clean all of that up for me? Did I?
Absolutely. The market's very dangerous and scary, and you gotta get defensive. You can't just have a pie chart with a bunch of assets and hope that diversification will bail you out. Because here's the thing, when it really starts hitting the fan, all the correlations grow together and they go down at different rates. So like in 2008, I'm not saying this is 2008, but in 2008, you know, emerging markets were down 70%. NASDAQ was down 55, small caps were down 60, and then S&P was down 42. Take your pick. What do you want? Get all a blended rate. Here's the other thing. The selling this time has been very abrupt and fast. And so the second derivative of the slope of the line, it's a negative slope of the line. It's kind of like this. It's not flat and smooth. You know, when it's flattening, then you can be, when it's more horizontal, you don't have to be as worried. When it's more vertical, that means the rate of it's happening quickly, and you can't just keep sitting there. You got to do some action. And I know that we made quite a few changes today to get the change our posture and our beta. You know, Don will speak to that later, I'm sure. But you just can't sit there and hope that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, and a lot of folks are going to think that why. And this, I was talking, I think it was with Alex before the show started, that a lot of this doesn't make sense, right? And the point being is the market's not here for you to find common logic with. Like, if we're reopening and the economy's getting better, that's a good thing, right? Like, that is a good thing. Like, people, like the rates of the corona are going down. Airlines are doing well. Travel stocks doing well. Expansionary stocks doing well, and yet here you've got American Airlines down 6% today, and this is just indiscriminate selling. Like, you hit, like the other day, it wasn't, you didn't have ticks on Tuesday. There weren't ticks to the to the selling, and the interest rates were ticking lower, and markets still had a really rough day. And that's a new wrinkle, which was a clue, like, you know what, as soon as rates start going higher, this market's going to puke. And it puked yesterday. And then you can see that rates went higher again, you know, towards midday, and the market just threw up. And so there has been so much damage
to the market. And it's doing so again today, too.
What's that?
It's doing so again today, too.
And so... When you look at, like, well, where are we at on the ATRs? We are absolutely, if I don't use the average true range charts too much to the downside for oversold. And I say that because these lines can just keep doing that. The probabilities of a snapback, I agree. When the market decides it's going to snap back, it's going to be very vicious as it tries to find the mean again, but everything does eventually revert back to the mean. And it's not on your time frame is the problem. And so if I'm looking at a weekly chart here, you've got the NDX now taking out the weekly mean. This is the mean on a weekly time frame. And so this is not what they would call good. And so markets, the last time this happened was this time frame back in October, super early November, and then the election took place and markets went on this epic tear. If you find your footing at the mean and you get some candles that look like this, that absolutely positively could happen. But the last time we had—
Stay on that chart for a second. What is that purple moving average?
I'm sorry, Danny. I apologize. I didn't mean to hit the chart.
That purple moving average that's curving down right there.
That's a 5 week.
That's the 5 week. And what is the red?
That is the that'd be the 10 week.
Okay. So what that's telling you, stock nerds, is that the short term momentum is overtaking to the downside, is overtaking kind of the midterm momentum, and it's in the very short term, it's dangerous. You want to see that line, that's what I was talking about, the rate of change earlier, is steep. You want to wait till that line starts to curl up or at least flatten before you start taking on more risk.
A thousand 1,000%. And right now, this is, I mean, if I put this on a, I would guarantee you the rates that you're, look at this, you just hit a new low, the VIX future spike. So you just hit new lows on the indices, more indiscriminate selling on the ticks, and the VIX just popped. Like they're going to throw every stock out until the last person gives up. Like this is now the hunt for liquidity. Where are all the stops? And so the algorithms are like, who's selling, Tim? Well, they don't tell you who's selling. The selling will stop when the volume dries up, and it ain't drying up right now. Let me tell you that much. And so we'll see if it can get down to. I was looking for 12,500 on the NASDAQ, and you're now at 12,400. So we'll see if that zone can hold up here, but that we'll see if they we'll check this too. The book call ratio keeps going higher. And if you look at the chart on the left-hand side of your screen, that's the advanced decline line, and the ADD just is falling off a cliff. So maybe now you get some capitulation. It's taken a while to get to it, but maybe now you get a little bit more capitulation, and Jay Powell goes and stops talking and goes finds the printing button again, because that is clearly what has happened. So, but that doesn't stop you from doing some of your research. Like, so what are bullish looking charts? So if we go here to a daily, it's not the NDX, but like we pulled up AAL. Like this is, look at the American Airlines. Now, let me switch my chart back to the daily set. Yeah, you've got a stock now that's just come back to the 8. But it was extended. Do I think it gets back to 21? I don't know. Maybe. How about something like Alta? Yeah, Alta's back at the 21. So that's normal that a stock would come back to the 21. And so maybe Alta, but they're just all getting crushed. It making buys in this range, hoping that you catch the bottom in something, is so incredibly dangerous right now. Give me a leader right now that's holding up right now. I got Google. I talked travel stocks. What else you got?
FANG, FANG, and NCLH. Both of those have been really strong. Yep.
There you go. FANG up 8%.
Up nice yep. today. Yeah. Man, and Matador as well. I know Alex mentioned Matador, I think, a few weeks ago. Those yep. are two of the leaders in that oil space today.
Where's Matador, Alex?
MTD.
MTDR.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for that.
So I mean, that's about it as far as what's holding up and looking good today. I mean, like SIVB, Silicon Valley Bank, has been a leader as the banks have continued their run, breaking below their daily 21 today. I mean, pretty much, unless you're in FANG, Matador, those oil type names, or you're short, you're hurting today, because like you showed, it's pretty much everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's metals and mining, materials, banks, whatever, it's getting hit today.
Gold, and those gold, just gold down again.
Even Bitcoin's down.
Yeah, look at what they've done to pins. I mean, pins down almost 10% today, you know, and these things were leaders. And so
look at those candles, though. I mean, there's been numerous days over the last 2 or 3 weeks where you could have said there's got to be some capitulation there. It's down 10% at one point, or 15% at one point, or it's down 8% again. Mm-hmm. And you just keep getting it. I can't remember a time, with the exception of the COVID limit down days, when you saw so much volatility to the downside in leading stocks, where they're, you know, the S&P is down 1% or 2%, and stocks like pins or apps or whatever are down 10%, 15%. You expect, you know, additional volatility. They're higher beta stocks. That's the way that it works. But this has been some drastic volatility to the downside, and not as much to the upside in the last couple of weeks either.
And the only thing that stops this selling, look, and I know a lot of the stockners that watch the podcast or watch the videos don't have, they're not in front of their screens all day. But like this tick, the only thing that's going to stop this is if you can get plus, you know, 800, and that just stops the bleeding. But you need this green line is just it's a five day, and you need this green line to start wicking up. You need the moving average to show you that there's some sustained buying. Look at this, minus 1500 on the tick. That it's, you just can't see the extension there. So they're liquidating. Somebody, some fund somewhere right now is absolutely just, they got a margin call and everything's being sold.
Yeah, that's a capitulation right there on the NASDAQ.
Yeah, and so that might be what's needed. I mean, you got to get all the, I mean, I don't really feel like joking around when I'm talking about this, but you know, you got to get the paper hands out. For lack of a better phrase, Hunter, you know, you got to get the weaker hands to sell their stocks. And then once that cleansing takes place, the selling tries to abate. But right now you haven't kind of hit it yet. And you can't even get back to zero right now on the ticks. I don't think we've been back to zero on the ticks here since we started this podcast. And so, markets are absolutely tough. Hunter, give me some destruction because we did a little bit last week with Alex while you were taking your CFA test. But give me some of these things because this is what can happen. And I don't think it helps anybody in hindsight about this, is because if you're living it, you're like him. I know what can happen. I'm living this nightmare. But hopefully it hasn't done too much damage. And you know, the lessons learned from watching this kind of behavior, you know, like give me a stock that comes to mind, or a SPAC or an ETF under.
Yeah, NNOX, NanoX. It's a company I've researched, and it's a really cool business model, but they don't necessarily have revenue right now. But I think from a high of 95 to now 35 today. So, mm-hmm. I mean, just Jeez. A massive, massive sell-off. Plug has gone from 70, 80 range down to around 40, I believe. And today,
can I pause you 1 second? Because I want to take this opportunity to remind people why this is happening. Well, I can't tell you the exact reason, but the parlance is that as inflation goes up, your earnings are worth less, and companies that may have less earnings are worth they start getting devalued. Meaning their valuations start getting nicked down to meet where they might be at in their life cycle of the company. And so, but that hasn't stopped. Now, Walmart is, I mean, whatever you think of Walmart, is definitely has earnings. And just look at the destruction of a Walmart. Like PepsiCo has earnings. And look at the destruction of PepsiCo. KFT, what's KFT doing? Well, that's actually, that's not, is that Kraft? That can't be Kraft. What's Kraft's ticker? That doesn't, that's not
KHC?
Okay. How about I just type it and it'll give a KHC. Is that what you said, Alex? I apologize.
No, it's okay.
This doesn't look bad. But give me an energy. Is NRG? Let's see. NRG. Give me that. What's the energy down in Florida, Don? You got to turn your mic back on.
There's Duke Energy. I don't know if they're based out of Florida or not. They're more
something
of
something Power and Light.
Yeah, that's Duke. Duke, D-U-K.
Duke.
NEE NextEra is a big Florida utility.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of NEE. This has gotten destroyed. NEE. Oops, that extra E is not for excellent. I mean, there's just nowhere right now, other than like the couple of places that Hunter mentioned when we started the second segment here, of where to hide. And so, like, well, how about just XLU overall, Tim? Surely, because then this is what makes me, it really grinds my gears when people say these are safer investments. There's nothing safe about markets. It's been a while since we've said it, but the lines on the charts, the moving averages, they're just lines on a chart. When markets are acting like this, there's just nowhere that you can hide. And so cash is a position. Yeah, you could be short, but the rallies are just ridiculous. And if we look, the put call ratio continues to climb. Eventually this will abate, but you've just had some massive ticks. And so don't think that you're in the thing that, give me some more destruction, Hunter, because I think that's, that might be eye-opening.
T-Doc.
Oh, yeah. Is this the end of telemedicine? And so the markets, I was alluding to it. I don't think I got to it. The market's making sense, right? Or I didn't really dive in. Are we going to stop with teledoc, teledocing? Or is teledoc now generic? I went to a doc the other day and Don said on the call, hey, are you using teledoc? I'm like, no, it's some other generic, probably cheaper form of it. You know, how about Peton? Is Peton,
it looks awful.
Yeah. And so they, but I can hear people screaming, but they have a backlog of orders, their business pipeline, they got reoccurring revenue, and the market just doesn't care. And that's the thing right here that I can't stress enough. And I know like these shows are really hard to do. Look, they're really difficult. It's hard to find fun when I know, and we know other folks are hurting. It's absolutely miserable to try to do this, but and for us to, if you hold Peton or you've got CCIV is that the one for Fisker?
That's the one that recently topped and sold off really hard.
Yeah, like this is all difficult. Like hindsight showing you this isn't to rub your nose in it. It's just that these moves are happening so fast right now, and the normal awareness to like, hey, like last February when this was setting up, we went to the VIX inversion. We still don't have it. We went to the VIX inversion, and it was like, okay, this thing is, the markets are closed. They're getting ready to close below the 21. The VIX is inverting. Let's get the hell out of the way. And we sung it to everybody who'd listen. And you're not getting that right now. And so just like the put call ratio was broken, where you used to get, like if I make this smaller, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. If I make, oh, come on, put call ratio. I don't know if it'll let me. There we go. Just gonna try. If I can go back to March, put call ratio here. The normal put call ratio before they introduced all this stimulus into the market was 1 or above. And I'm looking for a bottom. And if I got below this purple level, if I got below that purple level, I knew to look for, start looking for a top. The new level is where my red line is. And that is absolutely all stimulus related. The zero interest rate dollar, or the damn near close to it, has caused all kinds of upheaval. And so when Daniel say something like we're in uncharted territory with markets, it's a nice haircut, Daniel.
Thank you.
Did you go to your guy at Lucky's?
I did.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Hunter, you might want to fly out here and go see Danny's guy.
might be worth the investment. I don't have a guy. See, I don't, well, I say that, I have a girl.
You don't have a person?
I do, and that's what led to this whole catastrophe in the first place, is she was not able to make it into work that day due to car trouble. And so I was proposing to my girlfriend 2 days later. So I was
How
in
about
a,
you
a,
propose a real that we propose later? Yes.
And she said yes.
She did.
You're in control of the proposal. You could propose to propose later. You should
I had already hired the photographer. I had it all set up, so I had to.
So yeah, you got it. So you got your photos with that haircut?
He was all in with that haircut.
Wow. So you decided to take the risk, memorialize that bad haircut with all your engagement photos?
Yes.
That's going to make a
grandmother, the infamous me mommy, emailed me and said, subject line of the email is haircut ? And it says, are you trying a new haircut? I won't go into all the details of it, but it was just right on point.
God bless.
And then
does she realize what a legend she is on this show?
I don't know if she truly understands the magnitude of her legacy, perhaps. But she does love the podcast. She likes, I think she likes being able to see me and listen to all you guys. But
does she call you Moon Guy?
I think she just made the bullet points the intro.
Sheldon's Meemaw. She's Meemawmy. But on Big Bang Theory, Sheldon's Meemaw calls him Moon Pie. Are you Moon Pie?
I'm Sweetums.
That's right, Sweetums. Yeah. So, look, a lot of things are broken. This low interest rate policy, and I was saying that Danny says we're in uncharted waters. Like, there's the, like, how do you come back from, like, how do you reintroduce interest rates? Well, the Fed says, you know, they keep kicking the can down the road of reintroducing interest rates. But what happens when the market just does it for you? And so when people say, hey, this interest rate policy can get out of control, they're referring to do you think Jay Powell wants the TNX higher? No, they don't want interest rates higher, but that's the effect, right? It's Jay Powell also didn't want a pandemic either, but now we've gone from this shutdown economy where the government has been fueling, you know, and thank God, or it would have been 3, 4, 5 times as worse as 2008. They've stimulated the economy, and now that it's like a beach ball underwater. Interest rates are just trying to bob up to catch their breath, and when they do, you're seeing these prices just get destroyed. And the TNX right now is probably one of the best things you could be watching, and you can see the TNX is trying to come off the highs. And if it does, that's great. That's great for stock prices. But this market has been damaged. And you might have just seen the highs for the year. I actually don't think that. I think that the stimulative effect of what's about to happen with new money coming into the market from the sidelines and the government, when you see the reversion to the mean, it's going to be this. I think you're going to see this FOMO, this fear of missing out, kick in, and you will absolutely see a rebound. But I can't time that for you, other than to say, well, I know that. Let me show you one of the best trades we've made in the shop. So here is Amazon. Oh God, look at Amazon down to the chase. That thing was at 31.50 today. Just destroyed. But let's get it on daily chart. And let's go back to last year. And the thing that you can do to help you identify when a trend has changed in whatever it is that you're watching is look for, and I'm gonna draw my purple marker or whatever color you think this is, over the 21. That's the 21. And so you got a couple closes in this zone of the 21, and it's right around this time frame that we stepped into Amazon. But you can apply that rule to any stock, and as long as it keeps closing above the 21, you're in business. But if it starts closing below the 21, you know, like here, it couldn't get above. This is in the beginning of March. Couldn't get above the 21, and they just saw this puke. But when it got above the 21, it shifted the tone of the stock. And that works from anything, commodities, currencies, ETFs. It works for stocks. And it works on any time frame. You just have to remember the time frame you're trading. So that's a daily chart. So I'm going to take my signaling. I'm taking my signaling from a daily chart. I'm handling my business on a daily chart. If you take your signaling from a 30-minute chart, understand that you probably better handle your business on a 30-minute chart. So if you get two closes above a 21 on a 30-minute chart, that signal is not going to last as long, such as if you take your signaling from a weekly chart, you get two closes. Let me show you that. And some people are so eager to jump back in when something like this happens. So we'll take a look at this weekly and we'll go back to the same time frame. And so what if you waited for two closes on the weekly chart? So where's the 21 weekly? It's a little bit thinner, a little bit harder to see, but it's right here and right here. And it, and you're like, well, what price is that, Tim? It's somewhere around 16, excuse me, closer to 1800 than it is 1700. Still a good trade. And you can wait for your signaling on a longer time frame. But have some kind of plan, because right now these markets are absolutely just destroying people. And Hunter, do you have any stocks off the top of your noggin that are giving people maybe that, that they could watch for? Because you want to keep your watch list sharp. Got anything?
Well, I mean, the one that's still above or right on the 21 is DraftKings. They're hovering right on it. Apps was in that conversation before 12 o'clock. They had bounced off of it and we're sitting at 85. Now they're closer to 75. So, I mean, it's, you're really hard pressed to find high quality stocks that aren't oils or banks or airlines or cruise lines or travel stocks that are still above their 21 day moving average. There is not a ton of them out there. Sure. But I would say DraftKings. DraftKings has been strong.
I wouldn't call airlines and cruise ships quality stocks. All the other ones are.
But I mean, you know, that's just the nature of the market and the fact of, you know, what we're dealing with is growth stocks, and not even necessarily growth stocks in particular, have gotten hit really hard while oil has really been the leader. XOP, I sent Don and Alex a chart of XOP going back to 3320 compared to the Qs. And XOP has almost caught up to the Qs. And after today, they might even be equal to surpassing the Qs from that date, which is insane to think about. You know, so what I'm trying to look for and what I'm going to focus on is you can, we talked about NanoX and the companies that don't really have earnings or they're pre-revenue or they're more of a conceptual type of company have absolutely gotten obliterated. Like pull up Blink. I think Blink went up. I don't even know what their all-time high is. I know they're close to like 28 right now.
64.50.
So more than cut in half from all-time highs, closer to 60% down from 65.
Bring up AI.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a bit outside.
Butterfly, BFLY.
By the way, it's going to take a lot of wind out of the SPACs. The SPACs, because they're speculative. And they're, yes, they're just going to, you know, when you got a lot of blue sky and a lot of FOMO, they're great. But man, when all of a sudden fear kicks in,
absolutely,
that speculative demand will go away.
MSTR cut in half. That's the software company, yeah, that's adding all the Bitcoin to their balance sheet.
And I remember talking about this. I don't know if it was with you, Don, or the podcast. But it started crossing the eight and Bitcoin was actually hitting highs. And it's like something changed. I remember we were talking about it and you couldn't figure it out. Look at Square today. Square, by the way, Square, I don't know, you know, it could be just the market, but they're acquiring a music company. They're acquiring, yeah, Tidal. Like, by the way, Tidal is like in terms of streaming services that you would want, it would go, Me Mommy's playlist, Danny's Nothing But Country playlist of Nothing But Hank Williams Jr. It would be Nothing But the Kiss playlist from Don, and then six tiers below that, Tidal. Tidal is awful. And so,
God, isn't Kiss burnt out though and old?
Excuse me?
Did you say that on Twitter yesterday?
Oh, that one album that they put out. Yeah.
I saw your comment. I saw it.
Like, I don't know why Square acquired them. Like, was Jack Dorsey doing a favor to somebody? Who knows? But obliterated. And they just announced.
I'd like to correct you, Tim. I have a very wide, broad music. I actually made my custom list in the car.
Danny, it's nothing. Listen to the Possum, which is nothing. Who's the Possum?
George Jones, but that's not what I listen to. That's what.
What do you?
So, I did a classic rock. I did a couple country, including some older. I did lots of jazz, and I did some soul.
Who are you, Danny? The opening theme song to Monday Night Football.
I even programmed Broadway show, like Broadway musicals.
The guys from Hee Haw hosted a Broadway musical. There's no way. That's on a playlist. Prove it. There is no playlist in the universe. Danny, classic rock isn't Hank Williams Jr.'s opening Monday Night Football theme. There's no way.
Rolling Stones, what are you talking about, Tim?
If there's jazz on there, I will absolutely eat crow. Not for real, because I'll probably get
5 channels of jazz.
5 channels of jazz. Do you actually go to? No, this isn't a playlist. These are just program stations in your car. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I listen to them all the time. Yeah.
No, there's no way. There's horns on the front of your car. There's absolutely no way that you're listening. I think you can spell jazz. Name a jazz, not even a jazz singer. Name a jazz performer.
I like Wynton Marsalis. I like Kenny G. I like, what?
Kenny G.
I even like Louis Armstrong.
Well, I said name jazz performers, and you have done so.
He's Armstrong is a performer. He sang and played the trumpet.
I do like Louis Armstrong, and one of my favorite Christmas songs is "That You Santa Claus," which I really enjoy. Have you ever heard it?
I have. My dad was a huge Louis Armstrong fan. He loved.
Still say that you remember those names from riding in the car with your father. I still contend that there's not one thing in your car that would strike. There's not one thing in your car where a jazz station in Dallas could ask you for pledged money. There's nothing in your car except the possum and whatever George Strait is playing.
Oh, now King George is good.
There you go. So look, what I want to do here, stock nerds and market lovers, there is, tell you what, Don, you want to go? You're going to go over your moves in your Friday video for the week. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And then I've got the Thursday night video, and I've got a watch list. It's not a watch list. I've got a screen to share with you, stock nerds and market lovers, for the Thursday night video. I think that will be helpful to help you develop a watch list, because a lot of watch lists have just gotten destroyed. Like if your watch list consisted of CCIV, NARA, name another one, Alex. Name another destroyed hopes and dream.
Well, Don mentioned that Buff Butterfly.
Oh, yeah. BFLY. Your watch list, it doesn't mean you can't watch them, but where do you get back in on this, right? And so, well, Tim, two close above the 21. Well, that might be. But what are you missing by waiting for that? And so I'm going to introduce a screen tonight in the video that folks can have, and they can just keep screening until they find the leadership that we're looking for. Don, you got anything else to add?
Yeah, XME was a leading sector until this morning. FCX, yeah. I said in my video, if you can drop it on your foot, that's what's acting well. FCX with copper, Mosaic, think of a big bag of fertilizer. Mosaic down 8% today, FCX down 9%. XME, yeah. And so it means that profits are being taken in basically everything except for oil, which I think was mentioned earlier. LNG looks really good. And PXD, Alex brought PXD to my attention. LNG was one I found, and they're still acting well, but yeah. Really, that's it. It's
and by the way, that kind of goes to show you that you can't get caught up in the narrative or the theme, because just the last few weeks and month, everybody's talking about the new inflation trade in the commodity space, and you need to have commodities. And they were doing pretty good up until just a few days ago, and so it's just that narrow energy oil sector and that gas that's doing well. It's not the ags are getting taken to the woodshed.
I'll tell you what, Danny, let's do this. Do the normal closing, and I absolutely have one more thing.
All right, folks, listen, if you like what you heard, please tell a friend, tell a neighbor. Just send them to revereasset.com. They can go to that subscribe button, sign up. They'll get this podcast once a week on Saturday morning. And remember, today we recorded it one day early on Thursday because of prior commitments. Normally it's on Friday, and who knows, the market was getting hammered today, it may bounce big on tomorrow on Friday. But if you get the subscribe button, we'll send you this video podcast. We also will send you the daily market short video, market insight. We won't spam you. We won't reach out to your friends or family in any way. You can also go to webinars. Webinars, Don does a lunch and learn about once a quarter on Wednesdays at noon Eastern. And even if you can't join, it's good if you can join because he does a Q&A at the end, a question and answer. But if you can't, he'll send you the link, the recorded link after the webinar. You can also reach out to any of us if you got questions, Dan at revereasset.com, Tim at Revere Asset, Hunter at Revere Asset, Alex at Revere Asset, or Don at Revere Asset. And you could always call us old school at 855-REAL-WEALTH.
Listen, if you are, whether you're a client or not, stock nerds, don't sit there and wonder. Call whenever you hear this. We don't have any salespeople. We grow organically. So if you heard something on the show, or you've got something that you've read, or you've got something that you're thinking, don't stew on it. Don't sit there and just lose your mind trying to search the internet. Look, when you call, especially call on the weekends, we're available, you're gonna get America's fiduciary right here. And he'll tell it to you straight, and then you can go on with your life. If you send an email, look, emails get convoluted. Emails are long, and they just take a while. Calling is so much more efficient, which I know in the 21st century and the way we communicate doesn't make sense. Look, I prefer Twitter at TJ Razor. You can just message me. It'll show up right here. Danny is at, I'm at TJ Razor. You don't have to follow me. My DMs are open. Danny is one Danny Stewart, which is right up here. You can message him as well if that's the way you prefer to get a hold of us. D Vandenbord, the letters D and then Don's last name, Vandenbord, is how you get a hold of Don. I prefer Twitter because it's brevity. Most people who message me, they get in and they get out pretty quick. And so with this though, Daniel, I want to bring back the TNX and my one last thing here. So as I'm looking at the TNX, you can see that like the TNX is, I hate when thinkorswim does that, is a bullish chart. And I'm going to put it on a 5-minute chart here as it consolidates at the highs here for the day. Friday, so we're going to publish this on the website Thursday afternoon, but you might not get this till Friday or Saturday. But Friday, as you will know or will experience, is the jobs report. And this is a big deal. And Danny, I often think, and I think you do as well, that somebody always knows. Like somebody, like when a stock just happens to report a merger, there's always somebody who knew who just happened to have the right option series and they become rich overnight, or a big sell-off is happening. Like somebody always knows the information, right, Daniel?
Yep, absolutely.
I wonder if somebody knows the jobs report. And I say that because I contend that if the jobs report is good, TNX, the 10-year treasury interest rates, just interest rates, doesn't have to be the TNX. It could be the 30-year, it could be anything. They're going to spike. And if the treasury rates, interest rates spike, that's going to drive treasury prices lower. And that's also going to drive stocks lower. And I wonder if somebody knows that report and what the market has done, because the market is a forward-looking vehicle. Has the market already set itself up for what may be a good jobs report? Conversely, if the markets perceive the jobs report to be bad, and notice I'm not telling you what's good or bad is, because hell if I know. And Danny, what's the plus or minus on the jobs report? It's 100,000, right? Or is it more?
You mean the margin of error? It's like 125, 135.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous. Like you're clearly playing grenades,
it can
not
be
horseshoes.
Bigger than the number itself sometimes.
There you go. And so if the number is bad, well, clearly the economy isn't doing as well as maybe expected. I suspect, and I don't know, but I suspect that you'll see interest rates come down And then I think you see equity prices find their footing. Because when rates go lower, you want the growthy names. Because that's what you're paying up for. You're paying up for growth. That's why when rates go higher, a lot of those names sell the hell off. Now, indiscriminate selling, everything falls down. And that's what's happening here today. So Friday's jobs report, it comes out at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern, will be super interesting. And so since I don't know what's going to happen, I wonder if the market has set itself up for potentially a good jobs report and maybe the fireworks are over. But we shall see. Take us home, Danny.
All right, folks. Just remember, we recorded this on Thursday, not Friday. You might get a bounce on Friday. You may not. Either way, you need to have a plan for either direction the market takes. We'll talk to you next week on Your Money.